Hey guys, Raphael here of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Did you say podcast? Dudettes! You're listening to the podcast on the Geekcast Radio Network. Cowabunga!
Hello and welcome to episode 196 of The Cinema Geeks. I am one of your Cinema Geeks, Optimus Solo, and joining me once again for our Turtles series is Movie Revolt. Dan, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Not too bad, and we are just chugging right along through the Turtles franchise of movies. We've already covered all three original live-action films, as well as the first animated film from 2007. So four episodes down, this is episode five, and we are going to be talking about the 2009 television film Turtles Forever. So Dan, let's set the stage a little bit like we have with all the other episodes. What was your experience with Turtles Forever prior to this, and what were your thoughts going into it?
So this is the second time I watched it, like we mentioned last episode, when we did the top 100 animated movie countdown. I don't know, forever ago. I remember watching it around that time. I did watch the 2003 series. I didn't watch it like from start to beginning, but I remember watching it because like the turtles were back and that was kind of cool, but also feeling like it was a bit weird and different, but I kind of came around to it. But for some reason, I don't know if I just stopped watching it by the time this came out, but yeah. So this is the second time watching it and definitely think it helped, certainly.
Yeah, I remember watching this. I was not someone who watched a lot of the 2003 series. I mean, I knew it existed, and I may have stopped in here and there, but it wasn't a series that I was watching at the time. I was like a junior or senior in college, and I was changing majors and adding minors and just super busy with school. So I didn't watch a whole lot of this when it first came out, but I remember when I had heard that the Turtles Forever movie came out, I did check that out, and I watched that then. I may have watched it once since then, so this is either my second or third viewing, but other than that, I didn't have a whole lot of experience with the 2003 series. So obviously this movie is based on the 2003 version of the Turtles and their world, but then it does a whole lot of stuff to bring in other things, which was somewhat unique. So we're going to have the 2003 version of the Turtles and their world. We're going to have the 1987 Turtles and their world. And then we're also going to get, I think they coin it, the 1984 Turtles, which would be the comic-inspired, Mirage comic-inspired Turtles as well. So what did you think of just kind of the premise of this and how they're going to blend in all of these worlds and different versions of the Turtles within the same film?
It's interesting because, you know, we think like multiverses are all the thing now, right? We've right. got it in Marvel, the Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse came out. And then they've been a thing for a bit. This isn't like the first time they've ever existed, but it is interesting, like going back, watching this now and, you know, considering like this, I'm going to say did it first, but it's became cool again. It's been the big thing. So it was interesting, like seeing, you know, this, and seeing the combination of these two worlds. And, you know, now we've come to the point where we're seeing it like Across the Spider-Verse, which has like a billion different things into it. So maybe it loses its luster a little bit because now we've gone far and above this. And I know last week we talked about with TMNT, one of its big issues was the plot, and that was overbearing and how it felt like a movie that was a part of something else. Like it felt like a TV movie with how much things were going on and how it like dealt with things in the past. This one, I feel like I have to go through a different perspective because it is a TV movie based upon a comic book series. So a lot of the things like characters, their motivations, you don't necessarily expect all that to be at play here because you're, you know, I think it definitely assumes you're going into this having some understanding of the ongoings of the 2003 series. And I do, but there was a lot of stuff I didn't fully remember, like the whole Shredder thing and Krang. Like I forgot, like that was, I don't remember what the whole thing was with them. But, you know, at face value, when it comes to just, you know, seeing these worlds combine, I did enjoy it. I do feel like the thing that came to my mind, this might be weird, was actually Batman. By that, I mean, when in the 1980s, we saw like Batman kind of get returned with Dark Knight Returns, the Batman movie, to like a darker sensibility. And a lot of people started to reject the Adam West 60s Batman and like really hate that and feel like it almost ruined Batman. And I feel like it's a similar vibe with this, where it feels like the people making this really did not like the tone of the 80s cartoon and really set off to basically tell about how bad it was, because it did basically blatantly make fun of that cartoon from start to finish for the most part. So, you know, as someone who grew up with that, it was like, okay, I think we're taking it a little bit too far here and there. You got to make fun of the blimp. That's a little bit too much. But outside of that, I did enjoy it. It was easy to follow. I did like the ambition of it. A lot of great references, you know. So, and the animation, you know, for a TV movie of that time, I thought was pretty solid. But how about yourself?
Well, so for me, and I think it's smart that you bring up a couple of those things, especially the Into the Spider-Verse, because it's hard not to think of that when you're watching this film and seeing what they did here. I don't know. You're probably more well-versed on some of the comic book television series and DC and Marvel properties that have happened throughout the years. My history with cartoons is very much like everything except for that. So I don't have a lot of experience with that. But for me, this is something that I had never seen before as far as blending multiple television cartoons and their universes into one movie or TV special or anything like that. Like, I had never seen that done for cartoons, unless I'm just blanking on what else has done that. I'm not talking about just the general idea of a multiverse. I'm talking about specifically two cartoon properties being blended in another cartoon version, and I don't think I'd been exposed to that. If it existed prior to this, I just haven't been exposed to it, or I'm drawing a blank, because that's something that's interesting to me. And
the only thing I could think of is like Beast Wars and how it like had made reference to like
that's
the G1 stuff. It wasn't like they came out and like they were, you know, interacting or anything like that, but there are moments here and there, but it wasn't to this level, of course.
And
that's
the
only thing I could think of.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, though, that separates that even a little bit from me, which is a good call, that does obviously reference them, but in their references or in their depictions of the G1 characters, they're doing it in the style of the Beast Wars cartoon, if that makes sense. Like, they're not...
True.
Like, this one has, like, specific... Like, it's like it's pulling the other animation style and dropping it in here. It's pulling, like, some of that stuff. And it's a situation where you're having multiple of the same character, in a way. And so that was something that was new for me. Obviously, there wasn't a lot of opportunities prior to this to probably do that, because it's not until the late 90s or really into the 2000s where we have stuff being rebooted that would give that opportunity to the extent that we've had it, you know, for the last 20, 25 years. And so you weren't going to see that in the 80s, because what were they rebooting in the 80s? You know what I mean? Like, Alvin and the Chipmunks, I guess, was a reboot on the Alvin show. But, like, there wasn't a whole lot of that outside of maybe Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo is probably the one thing that has been rebooted earliest on and most often, as well as like maybe like the Looney Tunes and things of that nature. So maybe there's been some instances in one of those properties where this has been done that I'm just not well versed enough. But I just find it interesting because of the way they do it and the way that they're going to make it's not just the characters, it's the animation style, it's their characterization, how they're acting, that they're just like plucking. And then you get obviously the Mirage versions of these, which we'd never seen before in animated form, which is interesting and a cool kind of aspect. So like the younger version of me would eat this up. Like this would be like, okay, I'm all about like doing this and seeing where they go with it and seeing like the nods to all this stuff. I agree with you that they do make fun of the 87 series a bit to the extreme.
Yeah.
But if you're just kind of trying to like not as much pay attention or take that personal, I think it's still fun to see the different interactions and stuff like that. So we're going to see, I mean, it's not nearly as convoluted as the last movie we covered as far as the plot goes, but there is going to be a little bit of interweaving because we are taking three different worlds and blending them and having different characters involved, whether it be, you know, we see different versions of Casey Jones, April O'Neil, Krang, Shredder, Splinter, some of them just one version, some of them two, some of, you know, with the Turtles, we see three different versions, obviously. So it's an interesting way that they're trying to blend that from a storytelling standpoint. And I think they did an adequate job. I didn't really have a problem with the story as much because I'm just kind of along for the ride and seeing how they're going to interact, what they're going to like bring up, like you said, with the blimp. And they're just different aspects that they're showing in some of the different universes that just kind of make it an entertaining ride, regardless of the story that's being told in a way. But at the same time, I don't feel it was nearly as convoluted as TMNT from 2007.
Yeah, I agree. And you make a good point about the animation style, because, you know, not that it's easy to do now with Across the Spider-Verse, but it must have been so difficult just to try to do that, to get like the different looks, you know, you even when you go into the different worlds, and you have the also like the washout look when it's nearing its finale, and like the like all that, like, I don't know if it was hand drawn per se, because I know like we still, like, you know, computer animated graphics were around that time, but it certainly probably was quite a strain on the artists, like on a technical standpoint, for this to work as well as it did. And again, considering it was a TV movie, so you're not talking about a, you know, millions of dollars of budget, it was impressive on that end. But yeah, the plot so it isn't nearly as convoluted. It's pretty straightforward. Like, I like how it doesn't try to overly explain it, and we kind of just jump into it right from the beginning. Even the way like they introduced the new turtles, I thought was like pretty effectively done, especially if you were just turning on the TV, knew nothing about it. Like, how that must have been mind-boggling. Like, wait, hold on, what's happening? I unfortunately didn't experience that like you, but that would have been really cool.
The other thing so the animation doesn't throw me off. Seeing the different styles interacting with each other didn't throw me off. I thought, you know, there's a chance that would do something like that when you're seeing those blend. Like, we've seen that done very poorly in other properties or other movies or TV shows where they're just blending CGI and live action.
Oh, yeah.
Where it really throws you off. And I don't think we got that. You know, it seemed like it was fairly fluid and seamless in this. But I'm curious, because we're having three different versions of some of these characters, we're also getting three different sets of voices for the most part. And this was a 4Kids Entertainment, was the production company. It was Mirage Studios and 4Kids Entertainment. 4Kids Entertainment is not a union company, so that disqualified them from using any of the original 1987 voice actors, who are all union. And it also, there was some stuff that they couldn't do music-wise and things of that nature. Did it throw you off at all to see the 1987 versions of these characters and then some of them sounding nothing alike as far as their original voice actors?
It didn't this time, because it's been such a long time since I've watched the 80s series. Like, mm-hmm. And the first time I watched it, it did, because it, like, they don't sound anything like them. And especially now, since we have like the newer series where some of the voice actors have returned.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I didn't really notice it too much. It didn't really throw me off a huge amount, but like it did seem like all the 80s turtles did pretty much sound very much the same outside of Donatello, but they all felt like they spoke with one voice.
Yeah, I can totally see that. It threw me off just because I'm so well aware of those voice actors. Like, Rob Paulsen is one of the most iconic voice actors of our generation, and you know, the other ones that are involved in that, Townsend Coleman, and I'm not going to name them all, but they're just like ingrained in me. So when I heard this, and I guess that was something that I had forgotten. So I had seen this at least, like I said, once or twice, and I forgot that they didn't use the same voices. So when I was watching this, I'm like, oh yeah, they're going to have the 87 characters in here, and my mind just said, and it's going to be the same voices, because like you said, they've been doing that recently.
Yeah.
So I was just expecting it, and so when I didn't hear it this time and I had forgotten that was a thing, it did throw me off a little bit. I was like, wait a second, they didn't use that? So it did throw me off a little bit with that. As far as, what was your take on kind of, or your reaction to the Mirage universe and that 1984 set of characters? Do you think they did a good job of kind of taking those comic versions and bringing them into an animated world, or how did you think all that worked?
Yeah, I thought that looked great. I loved how they even took dialogue from the, you know, the actual original comic as well, and utilized it, like doing the narration. I thought that was effectively done. I also thought it was interesting because, you know, how the 2003 thought the 80s version was too corny, and then they thought that the 2003 didn't go hard enough either. So it was like, you know, I thought that was kind of a nice little nod, but I thought they looked good. Like, the black and white world, I think, was effectively done. I thought the voice acting for those characters seemed to fit quite well. Mm-hmm. Speaking of voice acting, and I meant to bring it up though, you know, mentioned how like the voices were different. I will say the guy doing Shredder, like, I could have sworn, like, you know, was, I can't think of the actor's name. He plays Uncle Phil on French Prince. I thought it was the same guy. Like, honestly, I thought his voice was the closest. But no, I thought the Mirage world, like each world, I thought was pretty well represented. Even the 87 world, like, it felt very distinct. And I thought the transition from one world to the next was done quite well.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I agree that the Shredder voice didn't nearly throw me off as much as some of the Turtles, just because of who I was expecting. But I think another thing is the 84 was interesting because we obviously didn't have anything to base it off of. We didn't have anything to compare it to. So it was interesting seeing that. And we had Jason Griffith, Sean Schemmel, and let's see, Clay Adams. And there's somebody else that did the 1984 versions, was all pretty interested. James Avery, I think, is the character, or is the actor we're thinking about for Shredder in the original one. He played the Fresh Prince guy. So I think it was interesting seeing that. And obviously, since you don't have anything to compare it to, the voices sound pretty good. I loved the animation style. And I also loved that we have the dynamic there that we're going to have the 87 Turtles who are being mocked, who are being made, you know, that you can't take them seriously. It's all about jokes, especially when they are talking about the 1987 Shredder. Like, he just gets lambasted in this movie altogether. But so we have these, like, 2003 set of characters who are acting like they're the much more mature, much more advanced, much more whatever. And it's funny that then you kind of get that flip, because then you have the Mirage characters who are even more mature, who are even more serious and kind of badass. So I kind of liked how that happened. I guess for me, if I had a minor nitpick, like what you were kind of alluding to, I think they could have toned down how silly they were making the 1987s just a little bit. Like, I get that it's a sillier, more fun, comical, humor driven cartoon, and you can touch on that. I think some of it went a little bit far. Like, if it had just been like one of the jokes I really loved, or one of the bits that I really loved, was in the 1987 cartoon, you know, they really spent a lot of time of breaking the fourth wall and talking to the camera and things of that nature. So when they pointed that out in this one, like, that was cool. That was funny. It was clever. Like, I think the one character was like, "Who are you talking to? Why do you keep doing that? There's nobody out there." Yeah. So, like, those are the types of jokes that I would have been more happy with if we had just kept it to that. I mean, you can mention that they're comedic and whatnot, but I think it took a little bit too much out on the 1987 cartoon, regardless of, you know, what the tone of that cartoon was. It doesn't necessarily mean it was bad just because it was comedic or humorous. So that was maybe my most minor nitpick. As far as the, go ahead.
I was gonna say, the one thing I did like was that, like, Doc Machine that day, and of course he had the the exploding ninja star that, you know, like, so it felt like, if you're going to keep anyone competent, at least they kept Donatello, and maybe it's because he's my favorite that I was okay with that. But yeah,
I did not know that he was your favorite. I mean, I guess I kind of could have put two and two together, because we have talked about him quite a bit, but
yeah,
I go back and forth. I know as a kid I really liked Leonardo and Michelangelo. But then with the live action film, I kind of liked Raphael, even though he was kind of a loose cannon. Donatello kind of was not as like we talked about in that first live action film, really took a backseat, it felt like. But then in what we've seen since then, he's definitely come back around. And I like all of them in different ways. So it's hard to pick a favorite for me.
Understandable.
As far as the rest of the story, any comments as far as how this whole thing went, people they included, people they didn't include, or kind of how it all resolved itself?
No, I definitely think, like, it's hard to watch this if you have not watched the 2003 series. I think you'll be very lost. Even I was a little bit, like, because I didn't remember why Shredder was gone. Like, some of the purple dragons and things, like, some of that, like, I would definitely need to refresh and remember. Yeah. But the story itself is simple enough. Shredder wants to destroy the world, and that's, you know, or I guess at all the worlds, and technically. And I do, it's fun looking for different references throughout, because, you know, we had Tokar and Rezar at one point. So that's, like, I thought the Easter eggs and, like, the fan service wasn't, like, overly egregious. Like, it was there in the background. Like, we get that scene too where, like, it references a bunch of other universes that we see. So, like, this to me was, like, fan service done right in a lot of ways, because, you know, most of it was had a purpose, or it, you know, if you missed it, you didn't hurt you, or you can, you know, it didn't feel like it was just fan service or fan service for the most part. But yeah, it did have a lot going on in the sense of, like all the different characters, but it also had the benefit of the fact that they did a lot of back work for those. So you didn't, like, you know, so Yeah. I don't know. Like it's. I feel like you have to kind of view it through a different lens compared to like a theatrical film because there's expectations compared to like something else. But it's a little bit of a different experience.
I agree, and you bring up a good point too about if you had to be familiar. Obviously familiarity with both 1987 and 2003 series would help. Yeah. Because then you would get more of the jokes, you'd get more of the references, etc. From just a straight storytelling standpoint, or just like on the surface, you know who you should have an idea of who the turtles are. So regardless of if you're not picking up on all the Easter eggs, you could still follow the plot and the story by knowing the main turtles and Shredder, etc. I think you're right though. For 2003, we added enough characters with Hun and Utram and the Utram Shredder or whatever you call it and Cry and things like that, where I think that's where like that's the series that you would most need to know. And obviously this was made in conjunction with that series, so I do think you make a good point, because if you haven't seen that, you're like who's this Hun person, what are the purple dragons, Utram Shredder, I don't understand any of this. So that would be a kind of a point of contention, where even if you hadn't seen the 1987 series, outside of like maybe a few very small like cameos where you see like Irma and a couple things like that where you might not know who they are, so you're not going to pick up on some of the Easter eggs, but it's not really going to take away from the main characters, because it's really just the ones that you know the best that are represented in the main part of the story. So I agree with that. As far as reception goes, it got some obviously negative reviews, as most things like this do. If you look at the Wikipedia, obviously there's some bad critical responses. If you look on the Rotten Tomatoes, it doesn't have enough actual reviews to have an actual Rotten Tomatoes score, but the actual audience score is on there, and that's based on over 250 reviews, and that's an 84% on that. So just for the audience score, which is, I guess, a pretty decent score there. Obviously, audiences tend to judge things a little bit more favorably than critics. It's got a 7.6 out of 10 on IMDb. So mixed reviews, depending on if it's critics or audiences or fans. Where do you think this kind of stacks up? Obviously, you said you're viewing it through a different lens. It's the first property that we've covered that's more of a made-for-TV film versus a theatrical film. So obviously that entails some different aspects to it. But as far as just your overall enjoyment, and if you think it succeeded in what it was trying to do, where do you think this kind of stacks up with the ones we've covered so far?
So I think this is designed to be a movie about that celebrates the history of the turtles from the beginning till the end of, not the end, but to the point that they were when this was made. I think it's successful in that for the most part. Even if it makes fun of itself a little bit too much, it's hard to compare it honestly, because it's comparing like a TV show to a movie. But I do think in the sense of like it's a little bit more streamlined than that of TMNT, what we watched last time. It's more of a gimmick compared to like the other films, though, like that I think rest more on great stories and great character moments. This, to me, doesn't have many of those. It's, like I said, it's a celebration. It's here to have fun. It's successful. There are some good interactions, but I don't think there's much depth to it, per se. I don't think it's really pursuing anything beyond that compared to some of the other films. So with that, I would say it's I wouldn't rank it as highly, but I do think it's successful at what it aims to be, even if its ambition is, I wouldn't say as like it's not necessarily trying, the focus here isn't just about telling this complex story. It's about like let's see if we can do this. And like you mentioned, considering it hadn't really been done before to this level, they were rather successful. So I think it's an achievement on that end. But as a straight film, I think I've enjoyed some of the other ones we've talked about, like the first live action film. And I don't know, I think even TMNT a little bit more, despite that film's issues. But we'll have to see when we like rank them at the end. But
yeah, for sure. I think right now, out of the animated versions, I would prefer to watch this again than TMNT 2007. But that doesn't necessarily make one better than the other. If it's just which one I would prefer to watch again. So when it comes to that, this one almost reminds me of how like a show, this is not an exact comparison here or a good analogy, but it's like when you're watching a series and then whether it be live action, cartoon, whatever, a sitcom maybe, and then they have like an episode towards the end of a season or towards the end of a series that kind of like calls back on everything. And it's just kind of like, there's no it's not progressing any of the characters anywhere. It's not telling any further of the story. It's more just like, let's celebrate what all of our characters, everything that the audiences love and things like that. Not necessarily like a just a clip show where it just shows clips of previous episodes, but kind of just something where it kind of looks back in a different way on some of the things. That's kind of what it reminds me of.
Yeah. Like Community that did a clip show episode, but all the clips were of things that didn't actually happen in the show previously.
Yeah, so. There we go. There, I guess there is two versions. I didn't realize this. There's like an uncut version and a different edited version. So I wasn't keen on that. So I don't know which version I even watched.
Yeah. I watched the one that's on Amazon Prime. So
yeah, I'm sure I did too. But apparently there's like a dozen scenes that are cut from one of them and that are in an uncut version. I doubt that that really does too much to add any depth to the movie. It probably adds a few more Easter eggs or callbacks or homages. Yeah. But just in case anyone's like wanting to watch it, you just know you have two different options, I guess, to see an uncut version or just the regular version that aired on TV. So any closing thoughts on Turtles Forever or anything else turtle related?
No, like the way I look at it is if this movie was the end of the Turtles franchise, I think it would be a fitting end because it does wrap up or
I agree.
Kind of celebrate everything. Luckily, it wasn't the end as we're doing this podcast is evidence of that. But yeah, so I'm glad I watched it and it does have me intrigued to go back and rewatch that 2003 cartoon. If it was only streaming anywhere, which is the thing I'm finding an issue with a lot of the TMNT cartoons, it's like,
right.
It's hard to really find them on any platforms, but that's for another day. So yeah.
Right. Totally agree. And just so you know, it is a sign here. I was at Target yesterday and they do have the toys out now for this movie that's coming out this year. So it was interesting. I was walking by the aisles and it was two end caps of aisles right in a row. And one of them was all toys for the new Transformers movie. And the next one was all toys for the new Turtles movie. And I was like, I think I just traveled back in time. I almost stopped to take a picture, but there was like too many people walking back and forth. And I was like, well, that's kind of creepy. I don't want to take any pictures of anybody. But just because of how close the two sets of toys were, it was kind of interesting. So next time that we cover a film for the Turtles series here on Cinema Geeks, we're going to go back to the live action world, I believe, if I have my movies right. I believe the next one is going to be the 2014 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I will have to double check because there's some other ones that we're covering here and there, but I think we're going back to some live action next time. So how many times have you seen that 2014 Jonathan Liebesman superhero film? I had to say that because it's not Michael Bay, guys.
I know it's always like because it was his production company, right? That's right. So once I think I've watched it one time, and I might have like seen it's been like on TV like here and there, but I've watched it once. So I'm interested to go back because like I remember not liking it all that much, and I remember there was like a lot of hate for that movie, but. From the moment like the trailer dropped because people hated, we can talk about it more next time, but yeah, I think I've seen it once, so I'm really intrigued to go back to see what it's like, you know, years later.
Yeah, I remember seeing it in the theater when it came out, and then I don't remember anything after, like I don't believe I've ever seen it since, so it's going to be almost 10 years since I've seen it, so I'm interested to kind of go back with a older eyes and brain and try to revisit it, especially in the wake of what we've just watched for this series with just seeing all the other live action movies and some of the animated movies. I think it's going to be interesting to see that in a new lens, so to speak. So that's what we'll be covering next time here on the Cinema Geeks. If you want to keep in touch with us or other things that we have going on, Dan, what is your TikTok and other things that you want to share with people?
You can find me on Comic Concierge on Instagram, on TikTok, on Twitter, if that still exists by the time this goes out, because it seems like it might not. So Comic Concierge, you can find me everywhere.
All right. And if you want to stay tuned with anything else network related, Geekcast Radio Network is the main hub there where you can find all kinds of different geek related content from Mike, Steve, and everybody else involved. And you can also search out The Geek Showcase, which is my individual YouTube channel. I've just finished the Ultimate Saturday Morning Cartoon Lineup. I'm going to have a wrap-up episode that's revealing the themes for each hour that should be released here in probably at the same time that this comes out, if not a few days beforehand. So check that out, and I got some other cool things, hopefully, that you would enjoy coming out on that channel as well. So that does it for this episode of The Cinema Geeks. Tune in next time for another chance to listen to more Turtle Talk from Dan and I. Thanks. We'll be right back.